It's the Christmas Tales for Wales podcast. We've got Frank's being nervous and Jack being a buffin and a banos being cool. It's the best podcast episode of the year. He's the greatest guest of them all. With his cute, sexy face and gay, happy meetings when Jake comes to call. He's the greatest guest of them all. Hosting and just... Sorry, lads.
Oh, the raspy tones. Oh, the absolute raspy tones.
That was worth the 20 hours of figuring out how to record
so
this.
So long.
Right, there you go. So,
there we go.
Should I just use this?
Yeah.
That's fine. Do mine. Yes. Right, well, back in. Yeah.
We don't need
totally worth the absolute scramble we had to go through just then to get everything off. And for the listeners, we might, this is definitely something we've released maybe for the Patreon. We were in the middle, just about to solve it. Some guy came over and went, can I use that plug you sat next to? Sort of fiddling.
Well, should we set the scene is where we are?
Yeah, pubcast, another pubcast from us. Yeah, so we're in the Gatekeeper.
Gatekeeper. Formerly known as the Prince of Wales, where I was earlier.
That's where you were earlier.
Yeah, that was fun. Boiling. I'm absolutely boiling, sweating.
Yeah, and we're all scared. There's about 50,000 people around us. I'm like, works Christmas party!
Everyone's... Yeah.
Also, I've brought with me that fear of being in public doing something like
creative,
this.
Yeah.
So thank God we're on the lapel mic.
Creative! Oh, you talk very highly of yourselves here, lads.
Well, something so esoteric.
Bloody engaging.
Something so meaningful is actually quite a
bard. A modern day bard's allowed in a Wetherspoons these days, who knows? But it's like everyone else here is like, oh, I'm right with knees up. And we're here going, is the recording working? Yeah. Oh, please, sir, don't plug your phone in here.
And I feel like.
Frank's been burping like
yeah, Christmas
believe.
Has hit me hard already.
He described himself
very
as
windy.
A cow that needed bleeding.
Yeah, needs my methane. Needs exhaled out of me. But we're going to do a Christmas, little Christmassy episode for you. And we're going to look, even though last year we did a Christmas episode, that was fucking too Christmas, because
we've covered everything.
We
have nothing. We've got the morsels that are left.
So there's nothing left to cover about Wales. So we've had to dig deep into the archives. So bear with us whilst we find tenuous links for Welsh history in this glad we call Cymru. But should we go on to go first? And you know who really is.
No.
Jake.
Yeah, you haven't introduced me.
Oh, yes,
I mean, honestly, I've been sat here pretty much with my arms crossed.
I've got to say, the guy having an absolute pudding in the corner now.
I'm barely took my jacket off as I'll get up to like this.
With Jacob Banos, of course.
They would have heard the intro.
I should explain the intro, really. Ever since that bastard Sam from Chris IT took my limelight and started a show with a poem, I thought, absolutely not on my watch. So I thought, again, the baritone.
Listeners, let us know whose intro did you prefer, Sam from Chris IT's heartfelt poem or the beautiful baritones of
next,
Jake,
which
actually was quite
the next
page. It was brilliant. I mean, that's what he's
saying.
It was brilliant, lads.
There was one bit where you weren't saying lyrics, you just went, oh, and I was like, that's perfect.
And one take wonder.
As a look behind the cloth, Jake played that on a phone for us, but I was watching it, he was singing along to it, so his mouth and was like, Christmas Kringle.
It's not the first recording Jake's brought to the gang before, and
with a surprise,
with
a surprise audio clip.
Actually, that was excellent.
I was very pleased with myself, and I appreciate everything
like
that I've done for you.
Like, you haven't even introduced me, as if we commissioned you to do an intro. And we don't want you on the episode.
You're not going to pay me for that little intro.
You just use your baritone vocals to just lead us in. Yeah.
Well, it's just a modest intro, and just how I feel I've contributed to the podcast over the last 12 months.
Are you good at impressions?
No.
It sounded like you were good at impressions.
That's just good me singing. That is just me singing.
Like take 20.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake,
no,
I've got
that
to
was
get this right.
First go.
Did your partner think anything of it?
I wouldn't let her listen to it,
good.
For obvious reasons.
Same reasons we don't let ours listen to the pod.
Exactly. Did it on my own. But I didn't let go.
No vocal training?
No vocal training at all, yeah. Sorry, no, I did let go, I should have said. Sorry, I found a nice little quiet area of my house. And, just totally belted
it. Did you
it.
Like the...
Do re mi so fa la ti do.
No,
before you started doing it.
Just listen to like 6 hours of Bryn's Advel.
Yeah, yeah. Really,
you know, character, yeah. Slept a lot and then thought, bang, I'm ready.
Drunk a bear.
Put a suit on.
I like Giovanni Pavarotti. He's like gobble a bit of like carbonara before going belt on. Yes, yeah. He's just like belt on. Yes, in Rome. Slip it out.
Shag, like, he's a big like dog, I think.
Still bacon bits in his teeth.
A bit of bacon come off the wob. Right, let's just check the tech still working.
Tech check. Tech is doing great. So do we need to do another clap? Because mine's not synced up. Do the clap. Let people hear behind the scenes.
Because we've done the clap already.
I might do a clap.
Yeah. All right, do a clap.
If you really want to do it,
you won't do anything to it.
And in no way was that because of the performance I did.
Right. All right. So we're going to do, yeah, like we said, we're going to look back at some, on a tough having, there's a window behind, in front of me, and I'm seeing the fucking revelers. They're doing their nut.
Right.
It's not just someone walking past, and I'm going to be very distracted by that. But we're going to start off with, who should we start with? Mine's quite a longy, so.
I got a quick shorty.
Should I do a longy so I'm out of the way? Would you prefer that?
You would prefer it.
Can I just give some context to the episode, as you just did for the last 10 minutes? I listened in preparation for this. I listened to last year's episodes.
Oh yeah.
And you covered so much. Yeah, you set yourself up for failure.
We didn't think about doing this long term. Yeah.
So now this is proper.
Yeah.
Never thought this
hidden secret little thing. So they need to listen to this.
Yeah. But we really should have like slowed out. What's Cassie, man?
With it lapel mic. I'm sorry for anyone who heard that. It's right where my gobs like.
I comes out of Frank's as I was going, and he was doing the same body gesture.
We're all doing that thing.
We're all doing that thing, you know, where you crane your neck back a little bit and go, and it just like.
And I would say, December is when I look my absolute worst. I look like a bloated corpse, and I'm just there like, but you know, like in Futurama where that guy loves to party?
I just want to sleep.
I can't help but go for the sesh. And that's what we're doing tonight. It's a Monday night.
What we're doing tonight. It's a school night.
Are you away tomorrow?
I am, yeah.
Yeah,
dead. I'm in the office tomorrow.
Oh.
I know. You haven't talked about the drinks either.
Oh, yes. So I'm on a Danish Pilsner, Carlsberg.
Made in Middlesbrough.
And I brought the boys two lovely
Coors Lights.
Ooh, fresh.
And these two are the tightest men in the world. They buy the cheapest. And Jake actually asked, can I have the cheapest lager?
Yeah.
But they were Bud Light. And Bud Light. And I cheated them to even shit a Coors Light, which was 50p more expensive.
Got their crizzy bonus in, I think. Because it's 50p more a pint for a Coors.
I don't know about you, Jack, but I'd describe Coors Light as cold as the Rockies.
Yeah. to harken back to about a five-year-old advert, it's damn cold. Jean-Claude Van Damme, remember them using the advert?
The Judder man will get you. Is that another one?
Is he tangoed?
Sorry.
Was
there? J.R. Hartley?
Yeah. Right, so let's get down to brass tacks because we're already a few minutes in. Right. Can I start on my longy? Mm-hmm. And mine's actually quite a good
longy. Do the longy.
And I generally was impressed. I literally spent. This is probably the longest I spent trying to find something interesting in a long time for this book.
Normally it's the old Wikipedia first click, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's not. Don't undermine our reason. Yeah. We go on JSOS or whatever that's.
We got books.
We got books. But this one here, I'm looking to move up to Abergavenny. And up there is a place called like Le Blorange, which always sounds fucking mental.
De Colorange,
The Sugarloaf and Skidded Mountains. Yeah, Blorange, it sounds a bit French, and that's because there was a big, nestled in the mountains there, the crumbling walls of this formidable castle built by the Norman lord, Heimlen de Blorange, in the 11th century.
Hemlin.
But it was built to defend the Norman invaders against attacks from pissed off Welshies after having their lands been colonialised and pillaged. And back then, Abergavenny Castle was this grand structure boasting a stone keep, chapel, gatehouse, towers, and an impressive great hall. But you visit today and it's just mere ruins. And it's actually not owned by Cadu, so you can't go visit. You have to go pay some posh cunt to have a look.
Oh, it's on my private
job, is it?
Yeah. I think, no, that's Usk. That might be Usk. I take it all back, that's Usk Castle. Okay.
Sorry. How far are you taking it back? Just to the bit we had to pay into the castle, all the all the way back to the beginning? Sorry.
But yeah, so I got that bit wrong. Now, you think all castles have seen their fair share of bloodshed. But the one thing that sets Abergavenny Castle apart from the others is the betrayal that took place there in the 12th century on Christmas. For background, Abergavenny's position close to the English border with its temperate climate and rich resources made for a long drawn-out battles between the natives and the Normans. And following countless deaths in the lower rankings, stakes shifted a gear when Henry Fitzmiles, Baron of Abergavenny, was killed by Welsh forces led by Cecil ap Dyfnwal, D-Y-F-N-W-A-L, in the 1160s. And despite Henry's death working in the favour of the new man taking over, William de Barros, the successor of the castle, he thought sort of to end all this violence, which had been going on for fucking ages. He was like, right, we're going to end this properly now. And he invited, and he thought, I'm going to have a ceasefire conflict, and I want this to end, because it's back and forth, blood, 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 blood. So this man hatched a plan to quash any further resistance, and took on himself to orchestrate like what on paper, like, oh, it seems like he's going to change things around here. But in fact, this bastard was in charge of one of the most dick dastardly deeds to ever harken through our Welsh valleys. So he hatched a plan. And what he did was orchestrate one of the most underhanded and bloody events in Welsh history. He invited all these people who were like rebelling against him, all the native Welsh, and this Cecil ap Dyfnwal, and he said, "Come over for a Christmas party. Come over for like this is like our Christmas is really important.
Don't worry about the in-laws this year. Yeah. Come over to mine. Yeah.
This is like Germany England, the football match.
the whistle's blown.
Have actually happened.
Well, he was like, right, we are going to settle this. We're going to have stop all this fighting back and forth. But I'm going to invite you over. We're going to break bread." And they're going to do that classic Christmas office party vibes where everyone let their hair down, the 12th century.
We're all putting our bums on the photocopier. We're
doing
all sorts.
We all dreamt of sugar plums. Sugar plums. Yeah. Damn, I tried to get a joke in there. Carry on. Edit that out.
Well, yarns are being told. It was a really good vibe.
Your bog standard Christmas.
And there was a sense that this new Norman ruler was going to be different and a new civility was going to happen.
Kind of Welsh going, you know what, I mean, half bad, actually. Put on this Christmas, this party. Like, it's all right.
Granddad asleep in the corner, pissed.
He's had a great time.
Can't wait to wake up and it is my nan.
And then, so as you can hear the simmer of Feliz Navidad's kicking off, you hear that then, so a signal was passed and all the doors were bolted and Dobro's dastardly plans came into effect. And an act of merciless cruelty and in stark contrast to the chivalric code the Normans were supposed to lead by, the naughty Normans clinically set about slaughtering all their guests with no man or boy spared. And not satisfied with the bloodshed, de Barros left on horseback alongside his men to finish off the most heinous Christmas killing spree, eventually murdering Cecil's only surviving son and the heir, the 7-year-old Cadwallader.
Seven.
And I mean, this guy makes the Grinch look upbeat, an absolute Scrooge of a Norman.
Is that like what Feliz Navidad was like, the Red Wedding?
Well,
like,
funny you say that. So it took 1182 for any significant act of retribution for this shithousery, and the castles were stormed and set alight by Henry ap Ionwerth. And if you think this does sound familiar, and like you just said then, the Red Wedding, it's because the massacre has gone on to inspire the infamous Red Wedding scene in Game of Thrones.
Oh, no way!
This is where it comes from. And this is one of the most, you know, if you don't know, it's one of the most like memorable parts of the film.
You boys didn't put that in there.
What the fuck is that?
Chewing gum.
No, what is that?
Crisp?
Oh
no.
I've been drinking this for ages.
This Christmas party is ruined.
Jack just interrupted the story. I thought, what are you doing? And then.
What is that?
There's a crisp in his glass.
Is there a crisp? No, I'm halfway through the pint.
Unidentified object.
Too late.
There's a UFO.
Yeah, you better well finish it, mate. Yeah. Come on. What do you expect for £3?
Yeah.
Crack
on, yeah. I did the rest.
If you think this sounds familiar, yeah, like I said, it's because this was the main thing that inspired the Red Wedding. And if people who haven't seen Red Wedding, it's one of the most memorable scenes, shocking moments, where someone's invited into
Game of Thrones.
I don't want to spoil. Is it just spoil the
show? Oh, it's been out for years.
Idol sang about it.
Yeah. Oh, fair. Well, everyone will know what it's about. But that was one of the most famous scenes in the film, and it's inspired by an act of betrayal at Christmas in Wales. It would be forgivable to imagine if something fantastical and far-fetched, yet centuries of subjugation of Wales are littered with battles and... Oh, no, I'll leave that. I'm editing on the fly. I was going to say, my last point is really serious.
Sorry, like, sure. Yeah,
and it's not really in the Christmas...
Yeah, everyone about it. Quiet, please, everyone. Quiet, please.
So what do you reckon about that, then? A bit of a...
Gorgeous.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good find, considering we were absolute slim pickings.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you find that? Well, that's genuinely, what did you put into Google to find that?
So my point at the end was, like, so this happened, in, like, it wasn't until 1182 that they got their retribution, and it wasn't in 1282 that Wales got, like, subjugated and controlled. Yeah. So that's 100 years in between. Mm. And these kind of acts were happening quite a lot. But once it got subjugated, those stories would get written, like, erased.
Yeah,
and,
well, the English wouldn't bother.
The article I read on this from Nation Cymru was saying, like, these acts of blood, and yes, the blood isn't still fresh, but the stains are still there. So they're saying things like, we should know more about this stuff.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But they don't, because the, you know, women's right history and all that stuff.
This is the classic, listen, you don't need to worry about that. That was ages ago.
And if that happened then, the only reason lots of us know, or is kind of known about it, is because they did get an attribution. How often do you think that happened? Mm. And they didn't. And they invited Welsh, like nobility. Like, yeah, come here, mate. Boo! Yeah.
Take your coat off, lads. You have a drink.
So that was my
lighter notes.
Yeah.
Robert Plant drinks in Esquerdin. I'm sure I said that last time I was on the podcast. Yeah. Have I only got one fucking
I was about to say, one trick pony over here. Yeah.
Will I move up there? Should we go up for a little Esquerdin sesh?
It is quite scary, you know. Mm. Well, I mean, unless you're drunk. If you've had a couple of drinks, you're fine.
I think we'll be drunk.
You've got to be on his level. Otherwise, he's just like clapping.
Otherwise, it's terrifying.
Do you want to hit us with your story?
Well, I've made some notes.
And he's literally written notes. Don't,
I've literally written notes. It's analogue.
It's gone analogue.
But it's a free book from Fike Safety Technology Limited.
Don't say your notes. Sing them.
Yeah. Hang on.
It's the most run.
Oh, come on, everyone in the background. That woman just got incredibly wet.
It's that little waver.
It's doing my head in like
this. Yeah, to keep that
it
in.
It keeps like, dude, is it too late to go back and say,
sorry, this seems to be a floater.
Oh, please, just drink the crisp.
You're not going to drink past there, are you? Because it's.
Well, what I'll do is, once I get low enough, I can try and fish it out.
That's classy. Yeah, lovely.
If it was your beer, like, we have to pause, boys. Like, I can't drink this. My crispy beer.
Do you want us to pause and you go get a new one?
No, it's all right, mate. I've done worse than this.
Are we not doing any preamble on... Well, I've made notes about the preamble. I've got Franks being a baby. That's you, Franks.
What? Why don't
and
we do
I hate Franks's dog.
Hey.
Oh,
I will
come on,
bounce
you
your skull up.
We listen and we don't judge, which is a TikTok trend.
Yeah, you'll listen to your fucking teeth get broken.
Honestly, lovely dog. Honestly, great. Looked like great company. But he dictated she. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I knew I shouldn't have wiped him off.
Jack was my back is.
For the record, Francis' knuckles are bare white at the moment.
Yeah, but she dictated our entire evening for 2 hours.
When? Today?
No.
Oh.
When we last met up,
What did we do last time?
Oh, because you had
to went for a drink.
Cool
and it only dictated about 2 hours of it, but I thought. So I hate Franks's dog. Are we moving on from that?
Okay. But
best you do, I think.
Is that when we had to go to.
Yeah. And I wanted to go to a Wetherspoons. I was so tired.
I bought you around in the pub to like consolidate.
You did,
Also, I do that with so many people. It's just like, guys, I need to do something to you.
So here's
to
the
go
dog,
with me.
Yeah.
Loads of great pubs down the bay.
One pub. Whenever I mention I love the water guard, so many people mention it's fucking shit.
It's nice.
We used to always say in the group chat, it's like Frank's works for Weathers for the water guard.
Franks could see the water guard from his front door.
Yeah.
That was a bit that
even for
and
this,
we had to walk for like 2 miles.
Even this night when we decided on what pub one you like the with the water guard, that's quite
but
quiet.
How
isn't
quiet
it?
Is it though? How quiet is it?
It is really
it's deadly quiet. You can hear a pin drop.
You could step out your door and be there. Well, we had to get two buses.
I'd have to get past the dragon.
The dragon, the old ball and chain.
Yeah, so I got Frank's being a baby as well, but that was about booking venues. But I think I got my way.
That kind of
combined
into two. Also, though, if we're saying I'm baby, you're.
Oh, I was far worse
because you don't read any message we ever send. But even about like semi-business stuff, we'll be like, oh yeah, Jake, this is our plan. And you'll be like, yeah, whatever.
5 minutes later, even on the way here, where are we meeting, lads?
Yeah.
What day is it?
Texting all the last couple of days. Right, so this is where we're going.
Who am I?
Where are we going, boys? He does a group conference call on the WhatsApp.
I hate phone calls as well. And then that time when you had a bit of a spy on in work or something, and you were...
I was getting angry at you two for no reason.
It's like you've been on the bags all morning. You're like, what business idea?
What would you say? Right, serious question. Should we make a marketing company? And we're like, what the fuck has happened?
Sorry,
morning?
Lads. I've had a bit of a bad one in work today. We'll move on.
Oh, yeah.
I often wonder what the parallel universe would be if we both went.
Yeah, right. Then, I mean,
that'd be awful.
Where would we be now? You probably
we'd be drunk.
Yeah, you go, nah, it was pucked
up. We would all be dead.
And I wouldn't have read any of the messages when you confirmed.
No.
And I would have turned to someone else.
Yeah, I would have still been working my job.
You sold on the Hong Kong Exchange, like we said, right? What? We're bankrupting.
I've got BBC.
Do
question
we mark. It?
Well,
yeah.
We mentioned it on an episode recently, didn't we?
We were so
but we also said, do we cut it if need be, sort of thing. So maybe we say it and then cut it if need be.
Well, we can say it was a fun day. Do you want to say what it was?
We have got a big announcement, everyone, for the podcast listeners.
We have
100% got a 12-part
six-figure BBC contract.
I'm so anxious that I farted. Two came out of me.
The noise-cancelling mic's going to have
to... It's going to have a nightmare trying to get rid of that one. Yeah, so what was it? We went for an open day as if it was like a college.
Right?
We got invited.
Who's the cream of the crop at the moment? Who's the Welsh talent?
We were kindly record a pilot about like just a podcast.
It was brilliant.
It's really fun.
Good fun.
Yeah. Although I got fucking stitched up a tree. They put a GoPro below me and filmed at an angle. It's like, and I look like a fucking toad.
It was an excellent angle.
It was so bad.
I mean, it made me and Jack look very handsome.
It was
meant to be a comedy podcast. So.
Yeah. And they were who's this bloated cool. And also, I had a really bad beard on. I tried to shave it a bit more better, but I just looked. I looked it back and I thought probably the coolest part of my life ever. In fact, to record.
I think all three
podcast,
was walked away from that. Like I certainly did.
I was dressed like a rent boy.
Well, like, yeah.
Because I thought BBC are going to want young talents.
There was a
leather jacket on.
There was a Savile-esque tone to your attire.
Oh, massively!
But I remember looking at the recording when they sent it over. Have you noticed how much I guzzle the water they provide? I think, oh yeah.
The teachers and the faculty.
Yeah.
You need to.
Yeah. Constantly to be hydrated.
It's like you were ringing a bell.
Yeah.
Shaking
and
everywhere.
Yeah. When you guys said like, oh, I like running, I said, show me running when you're being chased.
And we also, it was cool. We got to go in a studio. We recorded. There's like an engineering studio.
We were all very nervous.
Oh, it was brilliant. Shit,
and we were like we went for a pint beforehand, obviously. It was like 11 a.m.
So no, it wasn't.
It was
like 9:30.
Yeah, you had to be there for 10.
Yeah,
but then
it was
quarter past eight
at night.
Just the audience, we all agreed we should have had more beer before we went in.
Yeah.
Our agreement was we should have more screwdrivers so you don't smell the beer, so you just smell the vodka.
That's what we planned.
But we recorded.
Oh, and she stitched us up because we had to walk up 12 flights of stairs.
she got
to the top. I had to take my leather jacket off.
Oh yeah, you were there like the guy's
gold chain.
I was in showers up here.
Oh, and Jake in the toilet at one point as well. We went to the toilet and he absolutely, it was accidental, but he slammed one of the cubicle doors, and then we were like, oh, lucky it's just us in here.
Just confidence.
Like, whatever. And then some other guy, we were
BBC
talking
exec.
About BBC exec, walked out, and went, I've had enough now. I'm going to start messaging boys. And
don't cut that.
Also just say what Jake did? We were doing like, we kind of settled in. We did like it was about a 40-minute record, a 30-minute record. Did the first 10 minutes after being a bit nervous, found our stride. And then Jake was like, oh, well, I've actually done like a genuine report. I've done like an actual journalistic report. And we were like, fuck, really? Like, yeah. So I got up my phone. I called up somewhere.
Shangranog.
You could see in mine and Frank's face, we were like,
oh my god.
He's actually gone the extra mile here.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the studio behind us with like the producers. And I was like,
they were clapping.
They were like, oh, this is
cool. They were standing ovation. They hadn't even heard it.
They were a bit like, oh, hang on, what? Wait. And then Jake produced his phone and then did a skit where he would play an old lady.
He did a fucking,
weird
accent and just was like,
and it was just not funny. I hadn't listened,
it was hilarious.
I had a couple of drinks the night before, and then hadn't listened to it. I thought, you know what? It's probably gold. It was silver.
It's probably
going to
make it.
Bronze.
All right, let me just check the recording.
But yeah, so. This might all be cut.
No. Well, I reckon we probably should have mentioned it at the start, but I think maybe because I was in the weird environment, it's a bit anxious, I want to just get going. Mm.
I think maybe we should get all the listeners to email the BBC and
say, really cool.
I would really love these three boys just to be given a huge budget
huge budget, which they've already agreed they'd spend in the pub.
Doing more of this. Drugs and alcohol.
They'll be going, oh, so what's this for? We're going to go to the most oldest pubs in Wales.
The most oldest.
The gate.
The most oldest, and that's the intro.
Yeah.
And the most oldest pub in Wales, lover.
We're back here in the gatekeeper.
Yeah, we've done all of our business meetings in the gatekeeper. One time, I made a fuss that we should all go to Great Western.
Great Western.
And I got thrown by the girl. I said Great Western gatekeeper, and I was in the wrong place.
We're going to the gatekeeper, and we all went to the gatekeeper, and then Frank's like, he rang me, he was like, where are you? Very aggy with me. And I was like, we're in the gatekeeper. You're not, because I'm upstairs. We're in the gatekeeper. I'm in the Great Western.
I was so hungover.
Yeah.
That was a biggie.
Oh, that was the one where we were like, is he even coming? Because we couldn't get hold of you.
Oh, yeah.
I rang you.
And then you were like,
I hate ringing people.
I hate ringing people.
I don't ring anyway.
I don't ring.
I never rang anyway.
And you were like, is he coming? And you were like, oh, is he or isn't he? Like the person from...
Is he or isn't he?
So we're doing the most niche references from Jeepers Creepers 2.
Anyone like Jeepers Creepers?
Sorry,
anyone?
Not even number one.
Anyone a fan of Jeepers Creepers 2, am I?
There's a guy in there, they called Izzy, and they wanted to... They play his game, they go, is he or isn't he?
They definitely made the joke.
They made the joke
How can we make the name work? Right? Call him Izzy.
How can we construct an entire film around this joke?
Yeah.
Well, Jeepers Creepers 1 did, all right?
Yeah. Well, although
Victor Salva, that's not going to
it's him. It's not going to him.
Nonsense.
Hang on, is food coming round?
Not ours, mate.
No.
It's quite disruptive, that thing.
Well,
right,
anyway, go on. Back for a bit. Have you done your...
I've done nothing.
You haven't done your little bit yet? No, do your bit.
Little bit.
We've had preamble, haven't we?
You're pathetic.
Do your little bit then, little boy.
Listen, doggy. Listen, pig dog shit.
Go on, hit us with your pathetic.
Right. So this is quite a modern one.
Yeah.
So in 2003, Newton Town...
Oh, New Town.
That's what
it's called.
New Town.
Yeah.
That's what I call it. Yeah. Newton
Town.
One, two, three. Yeah. I got it wrong with the fucking third
word in.
Newton Town. So in 2003, Newtown, Wales set a Guinness official. We need to get baby Guinnesses, by the way, because you got them last year. It needs to be a tradition. Yeah, sorry.
It's my favourite drink.
Sorry.
Check a little crisp in my hand as well.
Newtown, Wales set a Guinness World Record for the most amount of Santas in one place. 100% official. Done. So there's over 3,200.
That's a lot of Santa.
That's fucking too many.
I feel like how many do you think have like sexual,
and then I know Santa's real, but then try and explain that to a child.
Yeah.
Nah, they're all real.
Always mates, mate. Yeah.
So many failed DBS checks on all 30,000 of them.
Do you remember there was
Jake's got a face that did not look.
Jake just shat his pants as he thought he'd stop recording.
I remember an old documentary that you might have showed to me, friends, where it was like they get people who are
Russell Brand's cons
and stuff like that. And they try and be Santas, like mall Santas and
you
stuff.
You must have Naughty Norma Cleaverhook comes to take
your children. Yeah.
Yeah, that must be it. Yeah. But it's all druggies, and it's like all you have to do is show up, and there's people go, I couldn't do it.
We watched another documentary where about that.
Yeah.
And you pretended.
They're like ex druggies, really trying to make their lives.
And
better.
And they're trying to become close to it. Like and he's pretending to eat a sandwich, but he pours a bottle of vodka down his mouth whilst he's eating.
And they were like documentary.
Yeah. And they were like, listen, you haven't. Past the Santa interview, you can't be a store Santa. He's like, why not? He's like, because you stunk of booze. Have you had a drink this morning? He went, I've had a bit. I have had a bit, actually.
Please tell me that's not a BBC documentary because we went in stinking of booze. That's probably why they haven't run back. So the previous record was set at 2,685, so bit of an uplift, but nothing too sexy. Now, in 2004, they actually smashed the record again with 4,200 people turning up in Santa paraphernalia.
We also have the record of most Elvises, don't we, because of parkour?
I think it's the biggest...
Elvis convention?
Yeah, it's the biggest collection of Elvises outside of Las Vegas.
Otherwise, Elvis and Santa. We've got two of the big names.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you're probably thinking... Sorry, for the listeners, I've lost them to an Elvis impression. They are in stitches.
When there's a third in the room, you know how stupid you are.
Yeah, normally this is just cut out.
We'd be laughing for an hour about.
You said, ha ha ha. The classic Santa. Ha ha ha.
Is that Santa? Ha ha ha, children. Right.
Now, come on. Jesus. So they did. They broke the world record again. However, that was not the best thing.
Very
about...
short nails. It's very dainty hands.
Come on, focus. Focus, boys.
My nails are a bit...
They're very...
Do you gnaw them?
Yeah, really badly.
Anxious boy.
A very anxious. Oh. Very anxious indeed.
He's a master finger man.
What, I pickled my fingernails all the way down? Pickle my finger weight all the way down.
We've gone rogue.
We have.
Let me finish this shit story.
Where are we?
So beating their previous world record was not the best thing about the day. Just to add, so this Santa meter wasn't just like a Santa Mia, well it was, but it was actually for a charity fun run. So think fun, excitement. Oh, I know, lads. I know. They raised £80,000. However, 30 people...
Looks like you're struggling to read your own fucking writing.
So basically, everyone was having fun. There was loads of kids there. And then 30 absolute legends took it upon themselves to have a great big bloody fight.
Santa
so it was
brawl.
A huge brawl, yeah. So police had to use CS gas and and batons to calm the whole thing down.
Christmas Santa gas.
Five were arrested in total. It was like... Yeah, it was absolute shenanigans. It would have been perfect. Yeah. Now...
Mummy, Daddy, why is Santa being cracked over the head with a baton?
Yes! Blood everywhere. Yeah. Now, I've got a quote from one of the police officers. His name was Gareth... Sorry, PC Gareth Slaymaker. Now, that is an insider man. Or it's just a pun made up by some bloody news
outlet. The precinct guy went like, come on, you got to go out now, you're doing an interview. And he went, come on.
Slaymaker.
Think of the connotations.
What's your name? Gareth Thomas. Not for this news article, son.
Now
it's Christmas, mate. People have been injured. Come on, we need a laugh.
You want that increment this year, don't you? Gaz.
So he confirmed some of the Brawl Stars still had this Santa costumes on, so there was like a bit of a... The organiser's like, oh, no, they weren't the Santas. And then the PC man was like, no, they fucking were. They still had their top hats on. That's Scrooge.
One Scrooge, they like, who said it was Christmas theme?
I hate Christmas, but not this much.
Yeah.
Yeah, but basically it happened after the race. Loads of alcohol was consumed. I like this quote from PC Slaymaker. This is the exact... Wait. This is the exact sort of behaviour that gives a well-organised event a bad name. So, yeah, no shit, mate. Yeah.
Okay, this is the last thing we wanted to happen.
Cheeky brass eye. Yeah. BBC. Yes. Irrelevant.
Great, man.
Tick, yeah. If you're listening, BBC.
So
obviously, it was fantastic news, but we no longer hold the world record. Basically, 18,000 Santas turned up in India in 2014.
Well,
I know.
Going to match
they must
that.
Have been boiling.
They would have been boiling.
They would have been. Yeah. Unless they jumped in the Gandhis.
Or is it just that and the beard, is that it?
No, they've got to have full paraphernalia.
Oh, that's what the
black boots.
Guinness Book of Records takes.
What else does Santa wear? It's full fucking paraphernalia. We know.
The black boots are the thing, not the big red suit.
That's it.
the black
boots. I stumbled at the
what
first.
What else is it? What else
he
is
it? Ha ha ha. Jingle that way.
Does he swing a cane? I can't remember. Anyway, yeah, so the Newtown Santa Run still takes place. We've missed this one. It was on the 30th of November, but I'm sure there's one next year.
Until it's that early.
I know, 30th of November.
December.
I know.
It's not even the Christmas month.
But anyway, I'm sure there'll be one next year if you're after a great big fight. So there we are. That's
if
it. Round of applause.
Nice for
applause. Yeah. Still. Yeah. Still about, yeah.
That was a goodie.
Do you want to rock on the other side? I reckon we should wrap up soon.
Go on then, yeah. Well, do mind. We were worried this wouldn't go on long enough, and look at us now.
Wait, I got loads.
Well, go on, hit us with some quick fires.
We got quickies, have you?
My nan got stuck under a car once.
Okay, great, next one.
That's the story.
keep going.
Go on. Oh, well, the only reason I'm saying this is because I'm out of beer.
Oh, you want to get beer?
Should we finish this off? Do this one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Finish up. Another, perhaps?
Perhaps another.
All right, so my one is about Deck the Halls, the song.
I saw a freeway cola truck in Lidl on the way here.
I said we'll do another one.
Sorry. Just scrambling through my nose. I'm just putting the mic next to my headphones. Analog loser, or whatever I was.
Yeah. So mine's about Deck the Halls, the song, and the Kalenic
So Deck the Halls, as most will know, is a traditional Christmas carol. We all know it. The English lyrics were written by Scottish musician Thomas Oliphant in 1862. But did you know that the melody is from a much older Welsh air called Norse Galan? I didn't know what an air was at the time of looking this up, by the way.
Well, so the throne, no.
No. A, like air, like a IR.
You breathe.
Yeah. No. So just to clue you all in, an air is a vocal instrumental composition. Just say song. It's just a song, basically, that's what it is. Anyway.
It does sound like a song to me.
It sounds like a song. Anyway, Tom Oliphant, he nicked the melody.
Oliphant?
Oliphant? Oliphant? I'm not sure how to say it. Tom Oliphant, this Scottish guy. He nicked the melody for Deck the Halls, originally claiming all he'd done was translate the original Welsh song. But this was never ever true.
So,
never ever true. That's how passionate I am about it. It's never ever
now,
true.
That's an eternal song, isn't it? Yeah. That you've just done.
Never. Oh.
Is that eternal?
That's one of my.
Allspice?
Allspice!
It's Allspice.
It's another air that I've just made.
Thank you, yeah. Yeah.
The original Welsh song, Norse Galan, is about celebrating Kalenig, which literally translates to first day of the month, but it kind of just means New Year's gift or celebration, as opposed to talking about Christmas. So the word is derived from the Latin calends, which is also where the English word calendar comes from.
Really?
Yes, it is indeed. And so traditionally on Kalenig, children would carry an apple that was pierced with three sticks.
Oh.
And that was decorated with a sprig of hazelnuts.
I found this bloody story.
Jake is going nuts, yeah.
I found this story and I thought, oh, they're going to know it. They're going to poo-poo me.
They know it.
Yeah.
Sorry? Frank's is getting bored. He's showing his biceps.
And I was impressed.
Yeah.
Wrap it up, Jack. Yeah. I think I'm in for one.
Right. It's all that long, so we can oogle him later.
Yeah, that I don't get the. I've never heard of the three-sticked apple.
Same. I've never had that. So there were variants of this apple, this decorated apple, all over Wales. For example, in the southeast of Wales.
Like it's a sergeant, a decorated sergeant.
It's decorated apple, yeah.
He served in the war.
He served in the Somme. Yeah. There were variants of this apple all over. For example, in the southeast Wales, and strangely enough.
I think I used to bob for one during Halloween.
In the you know apples.
A great bobbing war.
You know, yeah. You know apples as good as the next person there. This happened so in southeast Wales and in the Forest of Dee as well, which is strange. Quote. Their little regional variation of it was, quote, an apple or orange resting on three sticks like a tripod, smeared with flour, stuck with nuts, oats or wheat, topped with thyme or another fragrant herb, and held by a skewer. Sounds disgusting. Yes, a bit like, you wouldn't want to eat that, would you?
Did they? They didn't used to eat it, did they?
No, they just carry it around all day.
Ugh, the past, boring bastards. Do you have a fucking PlayStation?
I know, yeah, just if you have an Xbox. Like,
or throwing a big rock into a bit of water? Even that's better.
You know when you see like old films where they used to like poke a wheel down the street?
Yeah, that actually looked classy.
Yeah, that actually does look quite class.
Yeah, there's a romanticism about that. This going, oh, I remember the day. Oh, back in the day it was class. Remember making an apple with loads of hazelnuts?
We did say, like, shit, you fucking apple with a couple of sticks in it.
Is that the same voice you did for the Sangrana
BBC? That's
it. Well, I don't know if you could do impressions, and you said no, so humble.
That's it.
Well, we did last year's episode, we covered like some of the shit things we used to do in the past. And Tommy had
the whipping of women
with Ollie.
That was it.
And also, like, one thing I do think was fun in the past, sing songs, like going to the pub and having a big old carol service is fun.
Just
go on,
wait,
then,
just
and wrap it up now.
So,
come on.
Kids were also expected to sing and receive money or food, the food usually being bread and cheese as a rule. Also, it used to be a bit like a mini Christmas. Many families would celebrate it by giving another round of presents to each other on the morning of New Year's Day. In some parts of Wales, you had to visit all your relatives by midday if you wanted your Kalenig money or bread and cheese. When you saw after 12 and you'd be missing out on some coins or that sweet Dairy Lee and some fucking Hovis. Many places across the country had their own versions of Kalenig songs and poems, but from Aberystwyth in the 1950s, it was this one. So I'm going to say it in Welsh and I'll say the English translation. Dydd Calan yw hi heddiw, rwy'n dyfod ar eich traws, i mofyn am y geiniog, neu grwst a bara a chaws, o dewch i'r drws yn siriol, heb newid dim o'ch gwedd, cyn ddaw Dydd Calan eto, bu llawer yn y bedd.
Oh, I think so, I just came. That was gorgeous.
Welsh ASMR for you there. But, in English, in English, that is, today is the start of New Year.
Oh, I can smell the fart.
Oh,
we're in a little, wind trap.
Is there a little Kalenic treat there? Right, I'm literally almost finished. If you could just hold your butt cheeks together for fucking 2 seconds. Right, so that translates to my lovely, now soured Welsh poem. Translates to...
Oh, this poem absolutely stinks.
The stink on our poem, yeah.
Does stink.
Sorry. I'm so close to finishing, if you guys... Anyway, today is the start of New Year, and I have come to you to ask for coins or crust and bread and cheese. Oh, come to the door cheerfully without changing your appearance. Before the next arrival of New Year, many will be dead.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Well, Merry Chrysler.
Merry Chrysler.
Merry New Year for Kalenic. So there we are. That's my Kalenic thing.
That's brilliant.
I like how you saved it from mine to fart. You could have done that on drinks.
No, and it wasn't a choice.
It hasn't gone away, that smell. It's very Christmassy.
I don't know if I'm setting the scene now. I'm leaning back. I've got my foot against the wall. I'm out of the muck at the moment. But I just literally went in like maybe 3 inches.
Yeah, I've got like a bowling alley kind of wind trap. Yeah,
I'm in like the sort of...
well, that's the true spirit of Christmas. And I reckon we've done a 42-minute on here, maybe a bit less.
I've got another fucking 4 hours of notes here.
Well, should we all stop
Gareth now? Bale used to drink in the Fox and Hounds.
He doesn't drink.
What?
He's teetotal.
Oh, shit.
Oh, sure, all right. Scrap that.
That note gone?
All right, that's Christmas ruined. Thanks a lot.
I've got some Christmas notes as
well. Should we pause
I got another
here.
Story.
Should we pause here and then...
A couple more pints in the room?
And then join back on for a final bit at the end.
Go on now. Right.
We'll just say the Oath of Ireland anyway now, just in case.
Oh, should we do... Oh, you're thinking maybe... DOS Podcast, Pod
yeah.
Morals.
Yeah. DOS Pod.
Oh my god. Well, guys, stick around for part two. Yeah, this is me.
Croeso, and welcome to part DOS of the Jacob Banos episode, The Chronicles.
Is that how you start?
That's how I always start.
Hollywood Christian soldier.
Are you recording?
Yes, I am, baby.
We haven't done a clap.
Who's doing the clap?
No, you can't do that.
Kind of redundant.
I reckon it's fine. We'll figure it out. When we edit.
And make it hard for yourself.
You're joining us back at the pub for part DOS. Of our Christmas spangle with the one, the only Jake Osabanos.
Hello. I was going to say good evening. Shit, I panicked. Can we start again?
Chillo.
I'm sorry. Sorry, I was born.
You get yourself a cello? Get yourself a bass. Chillo.
You got yourself a bass.
Right. Yours isn't turned on. No, yours isn't turned on. It's just waiting for... Yes, now Jack's in as well.
Oh,
luckily, you didn't say a word.
I didn't say a bloody word.
You're like, meek boy.
I was too busy looking at my curdled baby Guinness.
Well,
right,
can we have it? Like, can we start with
before
baby Guinness?
Before it kills further, why not? Yeah.
Is this now a Tales for Wales tradition? Because last year you did these.
Yeah.
Which is what prompted the whole order.
Right, it is. Boys. So if you're listening back home, if you're listening at home, get yourself a baby Guinness, which is Kahlua and
Baileys.
Baileys.
Right.
They really are delightful.
There's absolutely no gripes.
No.
It's not, is there?
It's not a single gripe.
Just give you know, like a lot of shots, they give you that at the back of the throat. No, yeah. It's all
like if you were rugby banter boys.
And you know what?
They're pointless.
Yeah.
And you know what that was? I was worried about that because the guy who served us, as I just mentioned before we started recording, he had very shaky hands. I think the boy, he was a young lad, he's probably hungover, didn't want to do this shift. Probably thought, easy shift on a Monday.
Right.
I don't think so, baby. Not <hard boys. laughs>
We want it.
He was shaking as he was mixing the things. So
we got six.
Three of us times two. So I was just checking because obviously, Frank, you boasted earlier about, I'm going to get everyone a baby Guinness, and you bought yourself two.
It said two times four. Three for 7 4s.
Yeah.
And then I put that order in, and I pushed plus to it. And then need to arrive, but I think I just was a bit of an idiot. Yeah. But I'll show you.
All very tactful. Yeah. Me and Jack had to go to the bar and spend our own beautiful money
to tell the.
And I'm with the absolute shekel holders here who hate spending any money.
to illuminate the listeners as well. Jake went, I'm going to go up to the bar and get mine. He went, I'll do mine on the app. And then Frank went, should you just go up to the bar with Jake? Like, I'm sick of your company. I've had enough. I need a break.
God, that
Pilsner because I'm a bit like lead now. I think we all need to get some shorts, don't we? Yeah,
Pilsner's too strong. It's not too strong, it's too bready.
Yeah,
very Bud Light is too strong.
Bud Light, yeah.
It is.
It's not for the faint heart.
It's too heavy, isn't it? It makes it weighs you down.
What was going to say then about one of you?
Summer.
Christmas something? Oh, well.
Well, that's what the episode was about, Christmas shit, isn't it?
And we're coming back because Jake hadn't finished with his Jake Christmas points.
Written down in his analogue way so many notes.
About 20 pages.
He said, when are we going to call it? He was like, but I got so much to talk about.
I can't be finished. I can't be cut off like this.
So why don't you start us then? Jake,
what, we're going straight into the thing?
Yeah, get into the thick of it.
Wait, but you did say prep. What's your favourite Christmas toy? What's your favourite tradition?
But I thought we might struggle with questions, right? So I asked, in advance, I thought, in case we don't have any good history moments, let's do our own personal history.
Sorry to ruin the dream, everyone. We're not as off the cuff as we might
appear. Well, I asked you guys to think of, what was your worst present you've ever received?
Didn't have an answer to that, so move on.
Did you have a worst present you ever received?
Yes.
All right, here's
one. Do you want to
know why? Yeah, go on.
An orange.
I used to get that in a sock every year.
That was his only present.
Imagine, though, that my nan and my granddad, my nanny Vida, my bamp, right, that was all I got.
That's insane.
An orange.
That must be a shame.
And one of those ones where I was like, you know when you give it a little pinch and it's like, oh, it's not quite firm. It's like, it's a bit, it's been there for a while.
But didn't
I was like,
you also
cheers.
Have this policy that you'd have one, so Jack has two brothers.
Oh, I was just about to go on to this.
Tell
right?
him
so,
this. This is mad.
Hang on,
so
I've got a lead up to this. So I got the orange, right, and I thought.
When you say brothers, do you mean by birth or just like friends?
My friends and my brothers, I differentiate, yeah. But because my grandparents are based in Barry as well, they don't know me as well because I'm a little bit further out. So
too
I
posh.
Remember on my 18th
too posh,
yeah,
it's
posh.
Yeah. Ooh, la-di-da. Yeah.
So on my 18th birthday, which is my birthday in December, they got me a gold necklace with a bull's head on it.
Hang on. And so we've gone from an orange to a...
Yeah, but shit gold and a bull's neck. Chicago
was it shit gold?
I doubt it was high value, do you know what I mean?
It left a green mark around his neck.
I never wore it, right? Because they gave it to me and they were like, oh, we got you this. Just like, and they were like winking at me as if like, you're welcome. And I was like, I will never wear this thing. This absolute bison on my fucking neck.
Appeared with a 12-pack of Johnnies. You're going to need them, mate.
You called him Dwayne after that. You got the bull's horn, Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
You're going to get the horns. But anyway, to come back to what Franks was saying. So,
this is mental.
And I actually put this. I'm going to talk about my worst present ever. It's actually a lack of a present. Because when I was younger, right, my mum used to, working class, you know, not the most affluent, so would spread the money between us three boys. So me and my two brothers.
All three of
them. Yeah.
You know, so we'd all get kind of quote unquote shit presents. Like,
well, I was born in, I was brought up in Lanswick Vardra.
Yeah.
So similar vibe.
Yeah, so you know, you'd never get anything too spectacular, but it's fine. We still like it.
You'd never be happy.
No.
We'd never be happy. And they're still not up there.
She was like, three of you are unhappy because I'm
so
spreading the cost.
So what she did one year is she said, right, what we're going to do is there's going to be your Christmas sort of thing. So it started with my youngest brother, Harry, right? And it was like, next Christmas is going to be Harry's Christmas. And he'll have the majority of funds given to him, right? You guys all have stuff, but it'll be kind of shit presents. But he'll get what he really wants.
Oh, Jack, I was never this poor.
No. Next year it'll go up.
This is third world.
Next year it'll be your brother
stuff.
Sam, and then next year it'll be you. After
so
that,
you have
right?
to wait 3 years
so
to get your
3 years from my thing. I was thinking, why just start at the younger? give it to the oldest. Anyway, Harry had his thing. I can't remember what he had at the time, right?
Like something decent, wasn't it?
It was car. You know, I'm talking hundreds of pounds, which is a lot.
I'll be paying that car off for the next 10
like
years.
Like a £200 Prezi, which is a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. That's loads.
I know, but that means your brother and sister, your brothers are getting a fuck all.
You're getting an orange, you know, like, it's, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. And then,
wait, I don't want to be...
Yeah,
mean to
were you really that?
Mum? So I read it and just...
Well, they were spreading it. So £200 against three kids.
So you've got to wait 3 years to get
your present.
Yeah. My mum
was
suggested
I was first. I'd love to be first.
I'd put the adoption papers down
like
on the table.
£200 on three kids. That's £600. Most people can't afford to buy £600.
Yeah, but why don't you just spend the £200 across the three?
I know.
Well, that's what you used to do. But then it was like...
It was shit presents.
I'd love a shit present. £60 a pop.
So we all get 60 quid presents, or someone gets a big prezi, and then actually you get the big prezi, and actually.
And the excitement of it being your Christmas.
And also, I was a young lad. Yeah, it's my Christmas this year. Right?
I feel like this is like Ashton Kutcher being pranked. Is this real?
Yeah. So just listen now.
60
right?
quid, you could have got a fleshlight.
Hunker down and listen to this.
How old are you at the time?
I must have been 15 or something like that.
Fleshlight, fine.
I mean, to be fair, then a fleshlight would have been like,
Godsend.
And you're off by 60 quid on it. Yeah.
Couldn't afford a fleshlight, just got your dildo. It's fine, ma'am, I got it. Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Anyway, my youngest brother, that first Christmas, then after this new system was put in place, he got whatever the fuck he wanted. I can't remember anyway.
System.
Right?
This is like the workhouses during
just
Victorian times.
Just listen, right? So my youngest brother got what he wanted. Me and my other brother went. We had like little tit for tat, like little tat shit, right? Fine. Next year, my middle brother,
the wrapping
Sam,
paper off his
gets,
presents.
He gets like £100, £200 tracksuit, right? Because that was the phase he was in at the time, whatever.
Barry.
And I was thinking, of all the things to use that money on, like you've done that, but fine.
What is my go?
I said, listen, when I'm fucking going to get my go, you won't even remember. I'm going to use it so perfectly. My year was coming up, and my mum went, We're stopping doing this like one person Christmas.
This is social services.
We're going back to the split.
Communist Russia.
The SARS have come back, mate. The SARS have been done. So I didn't get my Christmas.
Have you ever had your big presents?
I've never had my big presents.
You should have bought him the shots. You should. That's why I started the podcast.
I've paid into the system. Never got out.
It's so insane. Because my mum was saying, my mum didn't have a huge amount of money at all. Single income household, all that stuff. And but we always make a lot of it be like hype about it, and it would be shit. It'd be pure time. Yeah. But as you get older, you want like one Xbox game or one PlayStation game. You're happy with that. But if you split the resources amongst three. If you get two unhappies, one happy. But at least, all right, okay, I get it. You might be able to get a PlayStation with this, but two sons and not one.
This
ain't, yeah. Oh, that's a bad
I've never heard of that. What did the conversation when your mum said, come here, Jack?
Well, I said,
this
is going to be fucking awful.
Sit down.
I remember saying to my mum, and
she went, brace yourself, lad. You are not going to like what's coming next.
But I remember saying to her,
you know, you had the big calendar this year.
You know, it was coming out, I don't know, it was coming out like sort of Christmas time. And like, oh, maybe not even close, actually. It wasn't in November. I'm thinking like October. And I was like, right, I'm going to put my request in for a one for my £200 gift.
Yeah.
And I think I was like, I want a new laptop. My laptop's shit. You know, that'll be. Save me buying it as a fucking 15, 16 year old or whatever. And then my mum went, oh, I don't know, we're not going to do that anymore. We're not doing the little one for one thing.
Yeah, it doesn't seem fair.
It's like we're just going to go back to splitting again, and that's not in the budget. And I just remember, like, I don't even, you know what, I don't know if I blanked it, just like my response. I don't remember if I just took it.
I would have felt like Anne fucking Frank at that point.
You are very chill.
I'm very chill.
I would have caused such a ruckus.
Yeah.
I don't know if I just left it or if I like threw a fist and I don't remember. Who knows?
I would have killed myself.
I would have Anne Frank myself and I don't even know what that means.
I think what it was,
I was handing myself in.
Yeah, do you know what? It's not worth it.
By 15, 16, we were drinking then, weren't we? Yeah. So that's probably what led to where I am now with my relationship with alcohol.
Well, that was the podcast this week. Enjoy your Christmases. This is the worst news I've ever had in my life.
It sucks, doesn't it?
It's a bit more daunting speaking to people who've actually paid for it.
Hard cash.
Yeah, they
like, we always say that. We actually have to deliver.
Real people, you know, upstanding.
Yeah,
they're not
shit munchers.
Yeah, they're not going to the bar going, what's cheaper, Coors Light or Bud?
We say the normal people are shit munchers, and that gives them an elevated status.
If ever these episodes get leaked, then we call our normal listeners shit munchers.
Yeah, fucking listeners absolutely tank.
Although,
pawn scum.
Although, this might be, it's good enough to be, I say good enough, this could be. I think it should go up to the level because that's a story about you.
You're not shit munchers. Oh, you're not shit munchers.
That was so impressive. Honestly, that's the worst story I've ever heard.
My mother loves me.
Yeah, bloody funny witch.
The irony is that in our family dynamic, I am golden child. That would be me and my two brothers. Yeah. Like
everything
she
golden's the shit.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's like, for her to you're do that
victim.
To me,
you're a victim of your own, not success, but whatever. As in, you're such like, Jack,
mind if we fuck it.
Absolutely King Midas.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
We should just release a clip of the story that say, get on the Patreon and hear the full thing.
Mm.
Anyway, yeah. Back to
if you want to be depressed.
Yeah.
Get your antidepressants out. Yeah, so this is the interesting story, paid for, of the magic Christmas tree. So basically, in Aberglasny, there's... no, wait, sorry.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry. So basically, in Aberglasny... I'll start again.
We don't edit the patrons, by the way.
For the patrons, it doesn't stink of shit, you know, again.
For the record, it's not started smelling a guff in his corner.
So basically, in Aberglasny House in Carmarthen, they've got these amazing gardens. You can still go with this.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We just told you, don't fucking edit them.
Sorry. I'll start again. Fucking no, it stinks.
Why are you doing it? Why are you doing this?
We're going to have to wrap this up pretty quick.
Okay, sorry, right. So this is a story of the magic Christmas tree. So basically, in Aberglasny House Gardens
fucking
in...
Jesus. Let the record show
that I've shot my
disgusting.
It's a shame they don't sell spare knickers at these bars.
This is gonna have to be a real episode now, because we have to edit. we can't release this.
Go on, let's go.
So this is the story of the magic Christmas tree. Mm. So basically, in Aberglasny House in Carmarthenshire, they've got these amazing gardens. I think it's over like 10 acres, which is equivalent of like 50 football pitches. Don't corroborate that. It's like a grade 2 listed building, this house. You can visit it to this day. So it's all...
to this day, bro.
Listen, bros. You can go there, yeah, and check the shit out for yourself. I ain't lying. So in short, there's a magical Christmas tree. So this was first published or written down as fact in 1831. I haven't got the details of what that publication was, but it basically was around in that era as well. So when they publicised it, they were like, oh, it might be an advert for a tourist attraction. Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I probably should have looked into that. So every Christmas Eve, there's a hawthorn in these gardens, the magic Christmas tree, that would sprout flowers. And then by the morning, the flowers would have effed off. So...
Magic.
Shipmas tree.
Shipmas tree.
Not a Shipmas tree, it's a fantastic tree, but that came to my head. So loads of visitors would come here because it was kind of linked, or possibly linked to, I got the bloke's name, Joseph of Arimathea. Possibly brought it to the UK. Something to do with Glastonbury and the Holy Grail. But it got all a bit religious and boring, so it couldn't be bothered.
Just fingers in so many pies.
Well, that's so. It wasn't associated with the visitors going there, but I think since they've gone, oh, maybe Joseph has had a little.
And I'm pretty sure he had the Holy Grail when he did it, actually.
Yeah, but it got all religious. So I was like, I'll keep reading that. Cause I just,
we always say that. We always say that.
When it gets religious, it's like, you know, it's bollocks.
The old Rizzos come into it, we're like, oh,
fuck off, Jesus.
Oh, you're talking about Christ. Yeah, so anyway, there was loads of visitors that would come there during the Christmas period.
And it come.
So you went.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, that's what Jesus would have wanted.
Oh,
very
good.
It's like you went, you set him up, and you knew exactly what he was going to say.
But either,
I'm not good enough not to spell it that way.
I teed that up. Jake absolutely abandoned
off Christ would have wanted.
So it was probably owed this estate by.
You're reading like it's a sermon as well. You read it. You pick
it's
your
Christmas.
Finger. You pick your finger by your sentences.
Good King Pursuit. What's that? I wish I knew that song.
Just to put, I'm going to take a picture for the socials.
Oh yeah, you got to do this one. Yeah.
You put your finger where you're reading, which I haven't seen done since like early, like year one,
early
year
primary.
Yeah. It's like, and then Jesus said.
So it was privately owned by an absolute wankstain called Thomas Phillips. And he was really pissed off, right? The fact that I just turned the page as well at the same time. It'd been on reading, even though I wasn't reading any of it. Yeah, so this guy was like really pissed off and they would come and visit his property. And he was like, no, I'm not having this.
Oh, was it like a, like you said, a difference between somewhere being a public historic place?
Say, oh, no, like a public pathway, a public right of access.
Yeah.
But you have to get landowner's permission.
Oh, you have to have permission. You have permission.
I don't actually know. Yeah. But anyway, you can pay to go there now, so maybe Thomas Phillips hasn't actually capitalised on it.
Is it true that flowers but then loses its flowers?
Sounds shit.
It's pretty fucking boring. I did mention that at the beginning.
Not boring, but it's a shit tree.
No, it literally just sprouts out of nowhere, and then by the morning it's gone. So anyway, this fucking petty prick cut the tree down so all the visitors wouldn't come.
Aww.
But because of the almighty strength of God, Jesus flew down in an aeroplane and went, let's make this still a thing.
In a B12.
I haven't read the Bible recently.
Targets are weird. The most psychotic men, the guys here on drones, just go like, they stick a whole bunch of people, eliminated. And just like close them, right? Eliminated, gone. It's like, how are you that chill? Just get like a fucking army of people. He's like a family cross the road. Gone, eliminated. And then they just fly off home. It's
so anyway, God came down.
Classic.
And where the tree once stood, there's obviously grass. And now, instead of this tree blossoming, the grass is now said to be slightly greener on Christmas Eve. And then during the morning, it's gone. Merry Christmas, everyone. Good night.
Tell us your nan story.
Yeah, so as a family, we're very big drinkers.
Yeah.
And I was at the pub, I think. And my mum rang me. Yeah. It's like Christmas Eve, and I was out with my mates, you know, standard Christmas Eve, so before you were burdened with the joyous love of having a partner.
We did a Patreon episode the other day.
I heard last year, so we talked about that.
But we did a Patreon episode.
Literally my notes here as well, talking about
we won't go too much into it. It could sign up to the Patreon to hear all of it, unless it's all Patreon.
Yeah.
But we did a whole episode about how mental Christmas Eve is the best night of the year.
It used to be like such a biggie, didn't it?
Until you get married and settle down, it is the best night of the year.
And
now you just need to
grow up. Shackles on yourself. Yeah.
Well, I've got a little side note on that.
Who's doing this?
No, I got to see.
Darling. Oh, you darling. Thank you very much.
What? So you actually bought three this time?
Yeah, I got a couple of morgies.
You absolute beaut.
For the purpose of the tape.
Yeah,
Frank has just actually committed to buying us
a
drink. What is that?
I always buy the drink. You two are the absolute T-Rex arms. Yeah. But you said it's such a good police officer then.
For the purposes of the tapes.
Frank's actually delivered on two double rums. Three double rums, even, sorry.
Right. That's delicious. What is that?
Is that really?
Spicy, double spice.
Is that full fat Coke?
No, never.
Ooh.
Pepsi Max.
Pepsi Miss Maximus.
Oh, that's so nice. That is so nice.
Yeah, so
I've got a toy boy.
You better not expect anything back.
I've got a side note.
Don't be daft.
He's going to expect anything back. Fish job.
Fish job.
So I've got a side note.
Here's my side note.
Depressing Christmas.
Yeah.
Did you ever spend Oceana on Christmas Eve?
Oh, I love
Oceana.
Did you?
No, but on Christmas Eve at 2 o'clock, I remember sort of stood there. Like the opposite of that bit in Love Actually where there's daft kids, and I can't remember where I was going with that, but I was drunk and it was awful. I remember thinking, this is not the spirit of Christmas.
Well, it's not.
Well,
Love
we
actually,
I knew you said
this. Wait, are we talking about right now?
Actually. Well, yeah, you said the Ogie and Anne story.
So, yeah, I think my mum rang me, and me and my friends were in the local pub, and so yeah, Nan's under a car. Under a car. So obviously, alarm bells.
Yeah.
Lads. Finish your drinks. Get another couple of rounds, and then we're going to go straight there. Yeah.
One more, and then we have to lift this car off.
One more,
yeah.
And then we'll cart her off.
She's
the
on
board.
Going anyway.
Yeah, look.
So
she's a tough old bitch.
So yeah, she wasn't hit by a car or anything tragic like that. On the drive, she'd tripped over after a merrifulness of Christmas, rolled under my mum's car, and that was it. She was stuck there. I think we put blankets on her.
It's quite little.
Listen, you'll be all right till morning.
She's quite large.
Oh.
So she was wedged.
Large Marge and Jack.
She's properly wedged underneath there. And anyway, that concludes.
You sound like you got a poem to sing about it.
You're looking at my notes. Have I got anything
more? You're finishing a Christmas story to a child.
I know, yeah.
Can I tell you my
Christmas. Wait, Gareth Bale at Fox and Hounds?
I told you that earlier last episode. Yeah. Teetotaler.
Fine, that's bullshit. Next one.
My dad and brother. My brother moved out when I was about 16. No, he was 16. He moved out when he was 16 and I was 12.
Mm.
So he left quite early. But just before he left.
That's gorgeous, isn't it?
Nice.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just
appreciating the rum and coke we've had.
I've never had a rum and coke before. It's because I've been drinking all this convincing myself, it's not just about value for money, it's quantity and quality.
So we did like a Patreon episode all around the pub Christmas Eve because it's the best time to be, but we won't do that tonight. We thought we'd do other Christmas stories, and one of ours was when we did. My brother and my dad, who hadn't gone very well anyway, were like kind of like sort of play fighting, but like the play where it was like, oh, this doesn't seem to laugh. It's like it was Christmas Day, my mum was doing all the cooking, stressing her fucking head off.
Is this the window thing?
Did I say that already?
Yeah.
Oh, we got an archive.
Not today. No, that was on the last podcast. When I was scratching out all the points I could bring
up. It was last year's Christmas episode.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Oh, my God.
My dad's brother, Windows.
Yes,
yeah.
I do remember.
All right, what about this one then? Okay.
I got another one in the wing.
All right then. Jack's mum came to my Christmas and sorted my presents.
She's
saying,
I got one present a year. That was the last of it. No, I'm glad actually, because, wait, on the pod, you say stuff.
I
got a good like bad Christmas story, right? So not last time, but the time before. So that'd have been 2022.
Yeah.
Right, so turn it to my mum's house.
The details not important right now.
No, it's not. Turn it to Christmas, right? There was a face there I hadn't seen before.
Oh, you've done this.
Oh my god, it's the old woman. She's dead.
Yeah. I know this one.
She's dead.
Yeah, she died.
It's a you didn't tell me Sue was dead.
Not yeah. Sue. She's
no,
not.
No, no,
oh, no,
no.
Maggie.
Maggie.
Oh.
She's brown bread.
Dear Archie Maggie.
Just to let you know, lads, I'm here for you. Okay.
I am the common listener.
Have I done that one?
Yes, you've done that one. Honestly, Franks and Jacks are just going off on a wild tangent.
All my notes.
Apologise, guys.
I reckon we say Dear Archie Jake.
Absolutely not. I once got a bottle of Paul Smith perfume and thought I was Rod Stewart.
Nice. You go through them so
well, hang on, I'm going to... Yeah,
I'm so bad. Then you go, no, not that one, didn't mean it. But we've done half an hour already here.
Half an hour.
Jake, just go back and forth.
Shit, that was just me talking. Oh no, we had the
big
about Jake's.
Big story.
Oh, that's awful.
And we had fans from
that was like a lib bands. Donkey fucking charity act.
I also, you had good fans, yeah.
And for £2 a month. You can fund Jack's next year's present.
You so can what's fund yeah. Jack's brother's
what,
present.
What is like
year?
A one tradition that you love that one you want to get rid of?
Yeah, I'm just gonna check my notes. Oh, get rid of? I've got one.
Oh, one.
So I obviously I grew up in Cardiff.
Mm.
What I can't stand is during the festive period, we used to call them nice shoes and shirt combos. So
like
all the Valleys
guys.
People coming down, they've got their fucking pristine white shirts.
And pasty
shoes. Once a weekies, I would call them, is in them.
Well, they
won't
this.
They never come in
wait,
on
Jack,
a regular.
Jack, you've done this before. We did this last year.
Yeah. We've done this last year.
Are you joking?
No.
He remembers nothing. He remembers nothing.
You talked about the once a weekies.
On that Christmas episode.
In that Christmas episode.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying.
You just said you didn't.
And you always forgot.
No. Games. I'm just saying, when you're saying the guys who are not normally here, they come in, influx of.
They flood thing. Cardiff.
They flood Cardiff. Yeah. They make it everywhere worse for everyone else.
So between
the. I'm saying it's the equivalent of once a weeky in a way, you know?
Exactly. So
I'm on about in like a village right. sense.
Hark,
but
the Herald's Angels sing.
Yeah, King Wentus last.
This is unlistenable.
No, it's not. This is gold. This is perfect.
Gold.
Always believe in your soul.
It was a browsing, but correct.
Also, you did not. Just hang on. For the gang, you did not. Hang on. You did not see Jake's tongue, actually.
Yeah,
I'm jealous.
I felt that.
Jealous
felt
of it. Jealous of
his
wife.
Wife
because
a
good.
Wife.
She's a happy woman.
Who's Jahappy? She's not Indian.
I'm Now it's
Christmas
released.
Has been saved.
God bless us, every one of us.
We've gone through a Christmas carol, but like in real time in about 3 hours.
Right, can we just say Diolch yn fawr, because I'm going to get pissed now.
Yeah, okay.
Cheers, guys.
Diolch. It's the Christmas Tales for Wales podcast. We've got Frank's being nervous and Jack being a boffin and a Banos being cool. It's the best podcast episode of the year. He's the great, greatest guest of them all. With his cute, sexy face and gay, happy meetings when Jake comes to call. He's the great, greatest guest of them all. Hosting and... Sorry, lads.